second. Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record, sir?
Yes. David Anthony Verdugo, DOC number 033097.
Thank you, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, and home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the far end of the bench working toward me. On the other side, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Then we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Next to me is the Honorable David Neal. Pardon me. And again, my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing.
Okay.
I would like to begin this hearing with the following summary. Mr. David Verdugo, ADC number 033097, is 65 years old. On May 30th, 1974, Mr. Verdugo was found guilty by jury trial and sentenced to life imprisonment for murder. These crimes occurred on or about February 3rd, 1974. He was approximately 20 years old at the time of the instant offense. Does that sound correct so far, Mr. Verdugo?
Yes.
He has been eligible for regular parole since March 21st, 1999. It should be noted that he was convicted for escape in the second degree in 1982 and possession of drug paraphernalia in 2011, an offense committed while on parole. Moreover, he was granted 31412A and 31412B parole several times between 1998 and 2010, with his supervised release, pardon me, revoked on four separate occasions on 2004, 2007, 2009, and 2011, all violations having association with substance abuse. Again, Mr. Verdugo, does this sound accurate?
Yes.
Thank you. I will read a summary of the offense in question. On February 3rd, 1974, Robert Robin, along with Denny Verdugo and Mr. David Verdugo, were on the way back from a bar driving down 27th Avenue when they decided to stop at the Big Eagle Market. Robin and Danny Verdugo entered the market while Mr. David Verdugo waited in the car. Danny Verdugo and Robin proceeded to rob the market owner. Danny Verdugo knocked the owner down and shot him with a 22 caliber handgun. The two then ran back into the car and jumped inside, and Mr. David Verdugo drove them away from the scene. Mr. David Verdugo received a life sentence after a jury found him guilty of first-degree murder, and that is the short version. According to Mr. Verdugo's institutional progress report, he has received moderate programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. He has a release plan, which includes living in a halfway house and pursuing day labor. He has a significant history of discipline in the Department of Corrections from 1982 to 2018, with his last ticket a minor on May 18, 2018, for obstruction of staff, and his last major on April 28, 2016, for positive or refusal to submit a urine analysis. This appears to be his 31st hearing before the board. And I'll say that again, his 31st hearing before the board. It's a pretty good size parole packet. I didn't find any letters of support, but Mr. Verdugo, did you have any letters of support this time around for your hearing?
No, I did.
Okay, thank you.
But I do have another certificate right here.
Outstanding.
I just completed 12 weeks of training. Mental health.
Yeah, okay, which program was that, sir?
This one is 12 steps to avoiding the common cause of recidivism in Arizona.
Thank you, sir.
I just completed that one in 12 weeks.
I make no light of your case, but that sounds like a very valuable course. I hope you learned something.
Yes, because you talked about your passion, drugs, what do you plan to do when you get out. It covered a lot of areas. So that knowledge comes in handy.
Thank you, sir. We do have a 2017 acceptance letter from Transitional Living Communities. So I recognize it's been a few years since you've been back inside the Department of Corrections. Do you have a more recent acceptance into a halfway house?
Yes, the Able House right there on South 6th Avenue.
I'm sorry, what's the name of that location again? The Able House?
Able House. Yeah. It only has 12 inmates there. So it's a small house. And they provide you also with training and stuff and classes and...
We also have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated January 9th, 2019, opposing parole. So they did send a recent letter. Mr. Verdugo, this is another opportunity for the board to get to know you.
All right.
You may have seen this board before. Most of the members of this board have been sitting on the Board of Executive Clemency since around this time in 2017 and later in the year. So it's a fairly new board.
But it's a new one because Mr. Stevenson and Mr. DeSoto in 2012 voted to grant me parole, but they needed one more vote. Mal Thomas, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but... Since then, I've been denied.
Well, it just goes to show you that each new board member is very independent and they look at the totality of the case differently. But I will also say, just for the sake of the discussion, it's also why it's so healthy that there's 3 to 5 board members because it lends to, I'll say, a convergence of a belief as to whether or not we can safely transition an individual back to the community. But thank you for offering that information.
Okay.
So again, this is another
opportunity. Can I say something?
Actually, what I was going to say is this is an opportunity for us to get to know you. So can you tell us about the crimes that resulted in your incarceration, some of your history of past periods of parole, and why you should be considered for supervised release. Thank you, Mr. Verdugo.
I've been incarcerated now going on close to 9 years on this violation. They never kept me longer than 2 years. I've always been granted parole. And one time I was reinstated on parole because the parole members on the board figured that I should never have been violated in the first place. Because I did go and drop, you know, the following day because I worked graveyard. And I cannot tell you what transpired inside that store because I was not in there, did not go inside the store, did not have no gun in my possession, did not commit any malice, but yet I drove them away when they came. I remember Danny and Robert came running out, and I think Danny went back and got Mr. Pickett, they took him at gunpoint back inside the store, and then he came back and ran the car, and said, "Get the hell out of here, we just shot a man." They didn't tell me they killed the man, that they committed any homicide. No money was taken, according to Rita Dahl, the store clerk's wife said that no money was taken. On the register, was registered under 52 cents, because they went in there to purchase two 16-ounce coats, because they wanted to continue drinking, and I worked from 11 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning. That's why I told the boys, look, we got to get back to my house. You know, you got to continue drinking, whatever. Well, just stop here at the store. And I pulled in, and they got out and whatever transpired inside the store, I cannot tell you because I don't know what transpired for them to do that.
Well, Mr. Verdugo, as I stated earlier, and we can talk about this because I'm being very general, but again, it seems that your previous revocations had to do with substance abuse.
Yes.
You had, in 2016, a violation for positive or refusal to UA. So did you continue to use drugs inside the Department of Corrections when you returned in 2011?
No, I haven't, because I live in the sober pod among 30 other inmates, and they're all sober, and we don't allow any inmates in there with any drug traffic or doing drugs. So I'm in the sober pod, which was picked. These individuals were picked by the administration, which is known as the sober pod and honor pod. And I think I have on, if you look at the district here of the programming, I got relapse prevention, I got substance abuse, classes that I've taken, among Desire for Living, Thank You for a Change, this one here that I just completed. So I've been doing nothing but programming this knowledge that I have found out what brought other people back to prison. I don't wish this on my worst enemy.
Well, that's understandable. Let's talk about that programming and what you're accomplishing now, because I certainly commend you for being in a sober pod.
Yes.
You said it was an honors pod. What qualifies the pod as being honors?
If the inmates that are not in trouble or getting in trouble that are programming, I have a job, I work in special projects, and I have my job, and then for classes, they allow me to go to class because they cannot take that away from you from programming. So I attend programming, and also, like I said, these individuals that live there do not tolerate any drug traffic in our room. So none of us do drugs. We're all sober.
Mr. Verdugo, I'm only speaking as one board member, but I'm going to be very direct from my opinion, and that is that it certainly is a cause for concern that you returned to the Department of Corrections behind a felony for drug paraphernalia while you were on release. So I can't speak for past boards, I can't speak for my colleagues right now, and I am totally open to hearing about where you're at in your rehabilitation process. Totally opening to consider whether or not you can be safely returned to the community. But I think that when an individual looks at the totality of somebody's history, some caution is necessary, especially when there's been that much relapse going on, which is why I also said I'm glad that the last class you took was relapse prevention, because that's probably one of the most useful classes you can take right now.
And I'm also enrolled in AA. And that's on a voluntary basis, the inmates, they go there.
How long have you been going there? Oh, go ahead, sir.
I've been going to AA now for like 2 months now.
And is that something you just barely decided to do? And before you answer that, I'm not scrutinizing you. AA is not for everybody. It's not the right fit for every individual with substance abuse issues. But that's something you just started doing recently?
Yes, I chose to do that. Not that I was directed to go there, but I took this on my own to go in there and stay sober and be there at AA.
How long have you been sober leading up to taking AA classes?
I haven't done any drugs or any alcohol or anything, I think a couple years.
Just Just one second, Mr. Redullo. I'd like to review quickly. Okay, so you returned to DOC after that felony in 2011, correct?
Yes. For a crack pipe that just had ability to handle residue, I had no drugs on me, and the pipe did not have any residue in it.
But had you been using crack cocaine any time during your supervised release?
No.
Then why were you holding a crack pipe, sir?
I bought it for my niece. She asked me to go there to the little market right there because she wanted to smoke some crack.
So, a quick review. You had a minor in 2015 for refusing the program. A couple of tickets that were dismissed. You had a major for refusing the program in 16. Refusing the program in 16 again. You had a positive refusal in 16. That's April 28, 2016. So, again, why did you refuse to UA? Or did you have a positive?
I believe it was a positive for morphine. I took an appeal because I have back problems. And I was hurting real bad. And my neighbor, he just came back from the hospital and he had some pills. And he said, take this one here and you'll be okay. You mean? I took it not knowing what it was. It was morphine. Okay? So
you
take responsibility for my actions, hear me?
Yes. Sure,
never had that. I made some poor decisions in the past, you mean? But now I've turned all that around to positive things and positive thinking.
If you have turned it around, again, we discussed you being in the honor pod, a sober pod. When did things really change for you? Because it seems that you took morphine that wasn't prescribed to you. So, when has this change started in you, Mr. Verdugo?
That I needed to change your being and now. I have very little bit of family left out there now because my mom passed away while I've been incarcerated. My brother died of cancer recently. You know, so without my mom as my backbone to me and things that I've gone through, the trauma, you know, that I'm supervised through mental health. I don't know if you have any documentation from Dr. Webster. Do you have any of that?
Well, sir, if you're telling me that you've been under mental health care since you've been inside the Department of Corrections.
Yes.
And we do have notes, but how is this significant? Okay, you see you're under mental health care inside the Department of Corrections.
Yes.
Are you making a connection to that, to you being ready to be released to the community? What do you say?
I will continue that because Dr. Webster stated to me that if I was to make the board, they'll send me a parole platter that sets you housing, sets you with access, sets you in programs, whatever is necessary through mental health, that to report. And they'll also appoint me a psychologist,
okay,
a therapist, and a psychiatrist.
At this point, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, and I'm going to do a quick review at the back of your package. Any questions from fellow board members? Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, Mr. Beduga, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing good.
Good. All right, so I need you to be extremely honest with me to make me understand what's going on with you, okay? Because I'm not getting a feeling right now that you're being honest, so, okay? Now, let me go over a couple of things with you. I want you to give us some thought, and I want you to be honest. You've been out of prison at least, what, 3 or 4 times?
3 times, because that one time I was reinstated on parole from the parole members.
Okay, so you were reinstated, and you was in, but you were reinstated means you were put back out. So far, from what I can see, every time that you were violated, it had to do with drugs. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you.
Okay. Okay.
I take responsibility for my actions.
Okay. Well, I want you to take responsibility for your actions. So what I think the last time you were out was in 2011, mm-hmm. and you were violated, and it had to do with drugs. And then I think your last ticket that you received, did you receive a ticket? I believe it was in 2016 for, let me just make sure before I say it. So in 2016, you received a ticket for a positive or refusal, and it was a major, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so how long have you been in that pod where they're not doing any drugs? You said a couple years?
That pod opened up after we finished painting it. Been nearly 2 years, yes.
Okay, so you haven't done any drugs in 2 years?
No, sir.
So, Mr. Verdugo, convince me why you would not do any drugs if you were put back out on home arrest.
Because I feel, since I have, hepatitis C, and I know that would harm me doing any kind of drugs or alcohol, being that I have that disease. So it was time to leave that alone to me. So there's no other reason that I want to protect my house. I'm going to be 66 in 4 months. You know, I just would hope the board would take into consideration of granting me parole or home arrest, whatever it may be, because I know I can function in society. It's not like I come back within 30 days. I've been out there one time 3.5 years, one time 3 years out there. You know, so and I always at work because I enjoy working. I've always obtained a job.
I understand. You're right. You have been out sometime for 2 or 3 years and then you relapse. But what is it that causes you to relapse, sir?
Well, I had a dip in the family and very close uncle of mine that raised me, and I couldn't handle it. Do you mean? I needed something just to slow me down and calm my conscience. Do you mean? I had done all the. I was like full of things on my plate because I had done all the funeral arrangements. You know, the mortuary, everything, and I just had a pile of stuff on my plate at that time.
So
but it's not. I made some poor decisions back then, you hear me? But like I said, I turned that around because I don't feel that I need to do any drugs. I'd rather be sober and clean, and it feels good and feels healthy to do that.
So 2 years you've been you say you feel healthy, it feels good to be sober.
And continue to be sober.
And continue to be sober. So what happens, what are you going to do if you have some more stress? You've taken some classes and you've done some programming, so if you were released and you got stressed out, what would you do?
I would continue going to classes or any special conditions that the board sets or my parole officer sets, and continue going to AA and to substance abuse classes to keep me clean, and obtain a job, of course. And they have classes there at TLC. Also, that you have to go to meetings and stuff, and that will help also for me to stay clean.
So, do you really think that if you got stressed out, you could not turn to drugs?
No, I will never touch drugs again. I've seen what it done to my brother, you know, when he done drugs, you know, and he died of cancer.
Well, you've been doing drugs for a really long time, sir. How long have you been doing drugs?
When I was out there maybe a couple of years. I worked 5 days a week as a backhoe operator. I'm a backhoe operator by trade. And it was just like a weekend thing. Not like I constantly did it every day, because I know the next day I have to get up at 3:30 in the morning and go to work with my backhoe connected to the company truck that I had at home.
So do you know what happened to the other two guys that were asking about? Are they still in prison, or do you know what happened to them?
My two co-defendants?
Yes, sir.
Yes, they're on parole, both of them. Mm. And that's the ones that the executive clemency board told me that they were the actual shooters that shot Mr. Dong, not I.
All right, so
my understanding that they're both on parole.
I'm just concerned about your continual use of drugs. I know you've been off for 2 years, and your ability to remain off drugs, because that's what keeps putting you back in prison. I mean, you were first released. You were first released in 1998, right?
Pardon me?
You were first released from prison by you granted a
I was granted parole in 99.
Yeah, and it looks like 2000 that you were first released, which would have been 99. So,
because I had to do the 2 years for the escape. I didn't even actually escape. I went home on a 3-day furlough from minimum. And I failed to return on the 12th time that I had been released on 3-day passes that they have back then. They don't have any more. I was a statewide driver. Also, I drove to all the state facilities and delivered milk there in Cooley, delivered milk at the state hospital. So they were able to trust me with a state vehicle truck to go deliver milk and stuff, you know, on my runs, you know, to Phoenix, Tucson, wherever my destination was.
So, Mr. McDougal, do you realize that for 19 years, you could have been out free for 19 years, but because you decided to do drugs, you wind up going back to prison? But had you not did those drugs, you would have been out of prison for 19 years?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, yes.
Yeah, for 19 years. So, I mean, isn't it worth it to you just to be out and be free and not do drugs, sir? If you think about that, if the first time you were released in 2000, or 99, if you would have not started back to using, continued to use drugs, you would have been free for 19 years. And all of the things that has gone on with your family and your life, you would have been able to enjoy those things had you not relapsed and did drugs.
My children, stuff that I have.
Right. You would have been able to do that, sir. So do you think
that... 2 years probably left, you know, I'm going to be 66 in 4 months.
Right.
And I'd like to enjoy some time also with my grandkids.
So do you realize, sir, that drugs is causing you to lose time in your life?
Yes, it has. I concur with you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Verdugo. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Ms. Whitmore.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Verdugo, I'm curious about this. The pod that you live in now, which unit is that in?
In Bachman.
It's in Bachman. And when did you get there to this pod?
About 2 years ago, approximately 2 years ago.
Okay, because I'm looking at your transfer record, and it shows that you transferred to Bachman January 22nd of 2018. That'd be 1 year ago. Well, right before that, you had been at Bachman for some kind of medical needs. There must be, is there a medical unit there?
No, not that I know of. I was at Bachman Blue Side.
Okay.
And they were moving people off that whole yard to Safford, Barchi and stuff, and they moved me over to the Blue Side there at Bachman. And I've been on that unit there in Bachman Bloom Red for a total of 5 years.
So you're in, are you on the blue side still, or you're on red?
I'm on the blue side. The reason I actually think that I was transferred over there because I was a visitation porter and worked up there at the administration building as a porter.
Okay.
And that's why Ms. Velasco said, you're not going to staff room anywhere out. I'm not getting rid of my porter. If I have to go to the warden, I'm going to get you over here because you're a good worker.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Whitmouse. Any further questions from our fellow board members? Okay, Mr. Verdugo, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing.
Yes.
Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? Will we ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us? But this is your hearing. I think you've been through several hearings up to this point.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into discussion and vote on this case?
No, I just feel that there's no penalty justification to justify keeping me here 8 years for a violation of that crack pipe. I mean, both of my co-defendants that done the actual shooting, the board had told me before, are the ones that did it, not me, but I'm sitting here in prison. And I hope that you take into consideration so that I can go to a halfway house, get some more training, so I can attend my classes of AA and other classes.
Mr. Quinones.
Yes.
Pass.
Ms. Francis, we're going to come out of discussion for 1 second.
Mr. Verdugo, although the other two defendants, your co-defendants, are out and they were the ones who actually did the shooting, do you understand that the reason that you're still in prison is because when you get out, you continue to use drugs? Do you understand that? That's why
yes,
you're
in. I understand that.
Okay,
but
so.
I'm not really using drugs ever. Yeah.
Okay, well, look, the point that I want to make is that although the other two co-defendants are out, they obviously are being law-abiding and not doing any drugs. And you continue to use drugs, which caused you to continue to go back to prison. If you would have not done drugs, so I'm just trying to get you to realize, you're trying to say that the defendants did the shooting, and you want us to understand. But what you need to understand, it is the drugs that has kept you in prison all of this time.
I concur with you.
Okay? So that's the main thing that you have to deal with. It's not, you know, the co-defendants did the shooting because you were released. And if they are out and still out, that means that they're not doing drugs or they're not getting them any trouble. And you decided to continue to do drugs. Well, you say the crack pipe belonged to your niece, which I don't believe, but if it did, it did. You know, you should know as an adult that if you're not going to do drugs, you should be trying to make arrangements for someone else to do drugs. You out of all people should understand the impact that drugs have made. Drugs have kept you in prison for an additional 18, 19 years. And why would you be going out buying a crack pipe for your niece? That just bothers me.
And I take responsibility for my actions for going and buying that crack pipe for her. The skinny market, whatever that is right there, in the village for me. And I was at a birthday party of my nephew, and she said, my boyfriend's going to be right, coming over, so just hold on to this, now that you bought it for me, and like I said, I take responsibility for my actions. I should have never done that, because I made some poor decisions at that time, Jeremy. I'm aware of that.
All right, Mr. Verdugo. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Okay, back to you, Mr. Verdugo. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say before we go into discussion?
No, nothing else.
Thank you. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly heard what Mr. Verdugo had to share with us today. And I do recognize it's been some time since he was returned to the Department of Corrections in 2011, but I think it's important to say again that he returned to DOC with a new felony charge. It wasn't merely, and I say that, I don't mean to make light of it, pardon me, that it's merely, but it wasn't just a tech violation of his conditions, but an actual new felony charge. And based on our discussion today, it would seem that drug use continued inside the Department of Corrections. I don't know for how long, and I'm not going to argue with Mr. Verdugo, but certainly as recently as 2016. It seems that he has really put efforts into his programming, and I commend him for that. I commend him for being in a sober pod, for being in an honors pod, for taking some of the classes. As we discussed, I think that last class sounds very valuable. But I will also say, it seems that for such a long period of drug abuse, which has been a real problem during his supervised release, it seems only recently, and it's fair to say that even though we're talking years, it's only a few years, that he has hopefully made this commitment to sobriety. He's only been going to AA/NA really recently. And my concern as one voting board member is that he's used the word accountable many times, but in between, he still sounds prone to excuses, a certain evasiveness about his drug use. Some of the things that I was going to say, I think Mr. Johnson just touched upon, about why he's still inside the Department of Corrections. In fairness, we won't get into other cases, but if there are two co-defendants that are out and still out, there's a high probability it is because they are adhering to the conditions of release. And I'll read a quick note here from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. The defendant has been paroled 5 times since 2004, and he has violated every time, including committing a new felony offense in 2011. Thus, the defendant has been given multiple opportunities to become a law-abiding citizen, but has consistently demonstrated that he is unable to follow the law and remains a danger to the community. Again, I'm an individual voting board member, but I can understand the convergence in the voting as to why there's been caution in returning Mr. Verdugo to the community, but that's where I'll begin the discussion. Thank you. Yes, the Honorable Ms. Gilbert.
My thoughts are just what... he says he was raised by his uncle. What kind of an uncle buys a crack pipe for his niece? And I don't see any logic in that, and I would not support any sort of parole.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Thank you for being so direct. Mr. Johnson.
I think Mr. Verdugo has done some time. My concern is his use of the drugs and whether he's going to continue to use drugs when he's out. And I seem to kind of probably overextensively question him about the actual drug use and what he's done. And I would like to see Mr. Verdugo get an opportunity to get out and be back on home arrest and do good. But I'm telling you, I'm just not convinced by his story. That, I'm not sure he's not still doing drugs, but that he's going to get out and not do drugs. Even with the programming that he's taking, I'm just not convinced that he's going to get out and be responsible and not do drugs. So I would not be supportive of releasing Mr. Verdugo at this time based on that information.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further information? I would also say, too, because I wrote a note here, there's a certain tone of entitlement to his release, and I think that's in the face of a lot of bad judgment over several periods of parole to including the last one at the age of maybe 57, 58, 59 years old. That wasn't a young person's decision. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. I'll see how we vote. And that is regarding Mr. David Verdugo, ADC number 033097. My motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, and we have no mechanism for when you set up based on the other crime, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Okay. Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Again, no mechanism for a one-year set-off. Release type granted. Pardon me. Release type denied. I looked at the wrong column. Release type denied. 412-411, home arrest. Reasons for denial are as follows. Serious and violent offense. Loss of human life. Trauma to the victim. Age of the victim. Serious bodily injury. Violated previous probation or parole, history of continued substance abuse, and that's through 2016. Poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infraction, and are there any other reasons for denial that any of my colleagues wish to add? Okay, Mr. Verdugo, this board is unanimously This board has unanimously decided to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. We stated our reasons. Did you hear those reasons, sir?
Yes.
Okay, then you will be certified by the Department of Corrections to appear before this board in approximately 6 months. We encourage you to continue with your programming. I am impressed. I'm impressed at the pod you're in. I'm impressed that you're taking AA/NA classes. And we hope to see continued improvement by you inside the Department of Corrections. This will bring our hearing to a close. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Quinones?
Yes, sir.
You stated some about a year set off?
No. We have no mechanism for a one-year set-off. We'll see you in 6 months. That's what I just stated.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. If you could, please give the phone to your CO3.